At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This
is After Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After Sunday Digging Deeper. I am one of your co-hosts, Elissa, and today I am happy to say that I am joined by my husband, Brandon.
Hello.
And so happy to have you here, Brandon. He's filling in for Alex, who should be back next week, and I know he'll be a little bit sad that he missed this. I know if you listened to our last couple episodes, you know that he was very excited to kind of dig a little deeper. Pun intended, into this. And so I know that he'll be excited to be back next week. So the last 2 weeks, we focused on Old Testament worship, and then we moved to New Testament worship. And so today we're really focusing on comparing our 21st century worship to the model of the first century church.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit in class, we talked about how the corporate worship, which is kind of like when we say worship, we think of like what we do, we gather together Sunday mornings. It's just a small part of our overall worship or the attitude that we should have to worship as a whole. And we kind of reference Romans chapter 1, and it says, I'm paraphrasing here, it says like our living sacrifice, which is our bodies, is part of our spiritual worship.
Yes, because they seem to not only worship on the first day of the week, but they also lived their whole life mm-hmm. centered around service, centered around the things they did outside of just what they did on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to not only have those moments of let's worship God on Sundays, we're going to do things for the community, do things in other people's homes than they met mm-hmm. to be able to prove and show their Christianity and their love for each other.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great point. That's how we show that we are Christians. How will the world know? By our love, and love is a verb, and that often comes in our actions and how we incorporate that into our daily lives, into the things that we do to serve others and live a life that is really service-led like Jesus did.
And one thing that was brought up in the sermon today was, in today's world, we're supposed to be obviously separate and not in the world,
mm-hmm.
but the world cannot see what we're doing because they're not here on Sundays with us.
Right.
And so the only way for them to see our Christianity, see our love for God, is what we do in the rest of the week, how we can serve them, how we can be that positive attitude that we can provide mm-hmm. to them, and our relationship that we can build with them.
Absolutely. So we talked about moving from the ritualistic, legalistic shadows of Old Testament worship to more of a heart posture on the other side of the cross. So when we think about our Old Testament worship, how it was so prescriptive, and then when Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and then we have the way that the first century church worshiped, it's a lot more about looking inward and examining the spiritual side of things versus going through a checklist. And so today, I think we want to take a little bit about and think about how maybe traditions have clouded our view of what true worship is or what it should be. And so we're really taking a look at how the first century church worshiped and what things might have maybe crept in over the years that may be verging back to more that ritualistic, legalistic type worship. So I think one of the biggest differences between our worship in the 21st century and the first century churches is where they met, right?
They met in homes, correct?
Yes. Typically, I know we don't here at Central. We have this lovely building. We have a beautiful auditorium, stained glass windows that we had. You know, we did that the Lego project around creating one of those. And that's one of, I think, the biggest differences. And it's a great example of how meeting in a building versus meeting at homes, that's not wrong or incorrect, but it is a difference. And it's one of the things that if, like, the apostles were to come back and they saw what we did today, would they kind of, you think to yourself, like, would they recognize it for what it was? And I think we would hope to, but I think they would think it was different. Absolutely. What are some other things, Brandon, that you noticed that are different?
Some of the items that Craig presented in he had a big checklist today of different things that were extremely different from how worship, as in general, the way a lot of churches worship now, not necessarily here, mm-hmm. but just they've added a lot of productions to their worship. Mm-hmm. And he made a key point that it was very simple back in
right.
when they met in homes, that it was more focused around around a feast, around a meal. And today's worship is a lot more production. It's a lot more, there's a lot more rituals involved.
Right. I would say if you were to ask most people today, like, oh, what's the central part of worship? They would probably say the sermon.
They would say 100% the sermon.
Yeah. That is kind of like the central, like, oh yes, we have songs and prayers and we do the Lord's Supper, but like the sermon tends to be the meat of what goes on. It takes up the majority of the time. It gets the biggest focus, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know we talked a little bit in class about the why behind worship and mentioning, you know, how we worship today and how we view worship. A lot of people come at worship with the what can I get out of it mindset. And I think we need to really recenter that, because worship is not about us or about what we can get out of it. It's about God.
Right. It's not how you feel on that day. Mm-hmm. It's not, you shouldn't have this mindset of, well, I'm down in my feelings today, or mm-hmm. I'm upset, so, you know, I'm expecting to come to worship and that's going to uplift me and that's going to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. I think that's a byproduct that you get out of coming to worship, but what attitude you bring to worship, you shouldn't expect service to change you, basically, from that.
Right. I like to think of it as side effects. The prescription is, I am here to worship and offer praise before the Lord and to study and all of that. And the side effect is, I'm also edified by that. And I think that that's how it was designed, and that's a good thing. But the point is, worship is for God. It's not for
It's not for us.
Us, exactly. So you mentioned the feast that first century church worship was often centered around. So let's talk a little bit more about that.
Craig used a term called agape feast, which I'd never heard of before. Mm-hmm. That was a completely new term to me. I've always just heard the Lord's Supper be called, well, the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Agape feast was a new one for me, and that was one of his key focal points of saying they had this feast as that way to remember, and how that was a major key aspect of why they met together.
I know in Acts 2, verses 42, it talks about they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. And then we of course, have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 33, where that's the typical scripture that people read when you think of, oh, we read a scripture before the Lord's Supper to help focus our minds. It's typically those couple of verses.
Now, that part of the scripture, didn't it also have where Paul was kind of criticizing them a little bit,
being a little bit critical? He was correcting, absolutely.
Because based on what we just talked about was that sometimes they would meet, and there was a lot of division mm-hmm. where a lot of the more affluent members would come and bring all this food with them, and they would bring it and almost be as a way to show off to the other people in the church, to be like, well, look at all the food that I have. And a lot of the poorer people would come, and they were wanting to eat just because to be filled, to actually...
Right, they were hungry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was rebuking them to say, like, no, you should not be bringing all this food in to show off your wealth, show off your opulence.
You've lost the plot, in essence.
That, yes, we're meeting together to, yes, there's a meal here, yes, you're going to eat, but it was not for the sake of satiating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It was to remember what Jesus did, celebrate what Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
and have that community aspect together of eating around the table.
If I think of most of the Lord's Supper observances that I have been a part of, I think we've lost the celebration aspect of it. It seems to be more focused on, and not saying that we shouldn't focus on the more somber aspects, but I don't really feel like celebratory, and maybe that's a reflection on me, and that's something that I need to do better. But I would say most people, especially if you're a member of the Church of Christ, can probably identify with that.
It seems more like we're thinking of it more as a funeral. We're definitely having that. We're trying to be respectful.
And maybe we should think of it as a celebration of life,
yes,
if you will.
We don't spin it that way.
No.
We're always going, well, we have to be super serious, super, you know, reverent. And we want that still.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to have that aspect of what Jesus did. We should have this rejoicing moment. We should be glad that this happened,
mm-hmm.
and not so focused just on his death.
Right.
What happened after when he arose.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we all can probably take some introspection on and look at. And this is one of the major aspects, but I think there's several aspects that we can look at and say, how can we, as a church overall, look at the model that the first century church gave us and get as close as we can to that? I think that's all we have time for today. So I just want to thank you all for being a part of this podcast, for listening with us each week, whether you use us to kick off your week, whether you use us as a midweek pick-me-up, or you end your week with us. Thank you so much. And we'll leave you with this one question to maybe ponder before we come back next week, and that would be, so if an apostle visited your congregation where you worship, what would they say about your worship service? So just think on that, and we will hear from you next week. Thank you all. Have a great week. Bye.
This is After Sunday.